I'm Lance Carter from Daily Actor, and today I'm talking with John Cho. John is back in a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. It's set 6 years after Guantanamo Bay, and we find that Harold and Kumar are no longer friends. Harold's working on Wall Street and married to his dream girl Maria, while Kumar, played by Cal Penn, has dropped out of medical school and has just been told that his ex-girlfriend Vanessa is pregnant. When a mysterious package addressed to Harold arrives at Kumar's door, the two are reluctantly reunited and, unknowingly, begin yet another adventure. The film is hilarious, and I was laughing nonstop the whole time. With the 3D, you're going to have things hurling at you that you're going to think yourself is only on the screen. Harold and Kumar are in claymation, and even better, NPH himself. That's right, Neil Patrick Harris is back, and this time he's doing an appropriately crude dance number. You're going to love every minute of it. The past couple of years, John's been on a roll. He played Sulu in the Star Trek reboot and its upcoming sequel, headlined ABC's Flash Forward, and will next be seen in American Reunion, back again as MILF Guy number 2, and Total Recall. John is absolutely funny in person and doesn't seem at all like the guys he usually plays on screen, except maybe MILF Guy number 2. I got a chance to talk to him about the film, NPH, his worst audition, advice to actors, and how he stumbled into multiple franchises. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. It's how I can keep on doing this. And now, here's John Cho.
Because you're so invested in these characters now, do you have any input, like in the script, or like what you think your characters should do, or how does that work?
I remember discussing, just throwing the ball around. I might be misremembering this, but...
You can make it up. That's fine.
Yeah. I think... I might have mentioned to the writers, I'm like, where do we go after Guantanamo Bay? Like, what is the next step? And we were all not sure whether we could keep doing that particular thing. And so I was glad when the Christmas concept came through, because it seemed... It seemed, in a way, a radical move. It was a departure and a good one. And a lot of things had happened between the second and third one in other people's lives, in our lives, and so it seemed appropriate to advance the ages of the characters and alter their life situations.
Can you see yourself as, like, a six-year-old? Like, still, like, Harold and Kumar 14?
Yes.
Yes?
Well, why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that might be fun.
I think it'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. We could take... Alternately, we could take 20 years off, Eagle style, and return for an awful tour. Sorry, John Henley. Why not? I think it's fun. The charm, I don't know what it is about these guys, but there's something elastic about the situation, about the setup of Harold and Kumar, that it doesn't feel like an arc in the way that... Not to compare us to them, but like, for instance, Star Wars, you can already tell within the first one there's this arc coming, and we're very loose and unstructured. And so it just feels episodic, and we could, just as long as the situation's interesting, we could, and people are into it. I think really, as long as it was funny, why not? It's just basically an odd couple movie, so you get an interesting situation, and it's truthful, why not?
And it didn't fall into the... The Hangover 2 trap, what was the exact same story?
Yeah, I think the trick also with this one was to, start with them separate. That was very interesting to me, and that was a real departure from the first two, and I think it adds some tension to the film.
Yeah, and you sort of can't wait
Not
for
real
to come
tension,
back.
Not real tension, we're a comedy, but, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I think it makes people nervous that Harold and Kumar have... other best friends.
Yeah, and I think I read in an interview where you said something like Harold and Kumar, they have a relationship, like they're a married couple.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I see it as a romantic comedy, and Harold and Kumar are the lovers that need to come together at the end of the movie. And you know, when we're making the movie, I always try to identify what the kiss scene is, and just like. And make sure that we hit that the right way.
Neil Patrick Harris in these films, he always knocks it out of the park, and his scenes are always the most over the top. Are those the funnest to film?
Yeah, Neil always, Neil brings, he's always like the guest in the middle of filming, like you clean up your house and you get excited, and we always love having Neil on set. It's just a a break from each other. Because we were on our best behavior for Neil. He's a lot of fun. Plus, the sequences are always the most absurd. And also, we don't have to worry about being funny. He's carrying that thing. So, I love having Neil around. He's a terrific guy.
How long did the dance sequence take to film?
A few days. It was fast, but we rehearsed in a legit dance studio, which is bizarre. They had lots of motivational signs around the dance studio, like work it, if you don't sweat it, you know, like that kind of stuff. And it was a place where they sold leggings and shoes, you know, and dance shoes. So we worked it out there and then came to the studio. Although, I think originally Harold and Kumar weren't really dancing, and I'm going to show off to you. The original choreography was that Harold and Kumar were destroying the set, kind of. And we were trying to go through the number, but we were bumbling through and ruining everything. And then Cal and I started to get the moves. And they said, well, they know the moves. It doesn't really make sense that they know the moves. Because, like, it doesn't make any sense at all that they would know to be where they are.
Uh-huh.
But we started to pick it up, so they just said, get in there. And so they took a leap of faith, and the audience, no one has really picked this out, but Harold and Kumar shouldn't know the dance number.
I know you've done a lot of theater. Had you done any musicals before?
Never have.
Yeah?
Yeah, never have. Never danced on stage. It was fun.
Yeah? Any desire to do, go to Broadway or do anything like that? Or either even, like, a straight play?
Maybe, yeah. Oh, definitely a straight play. I don't know about... that's tough. I have interest in all of the above. Absolutely.
Have you got any offers or just not right now?
No. Never gotten a musical... no.
But, like, a straight play, I mean. Yeah.
On Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
No. Do you know anyone?
I'll put in some calls.
Okay.
Give me a half hour.
I've been trying to mount an Asian raisin in the sun for quite some time. Surprisingly, no interest.
That's quite unfortunate.
Yeah. It's really weird. Investors walk out of the room, throw Starbucks on my winter coats.
Shooting a 3D movie, is there anything hugely different in that than not, I guess, like camera angles?
Oddly, yes, there are a few things. One, lighting setups take longer, as I said. The rig, our rig, I don't know if it's all rigs, but our camera rig was very large, so, you know, when they were shooting over-the-shoulder shots, the actor who would typically stand right next to the lens so that we could look into each other's eyes could not stand there. And so you had to act to a piece of tape right next to the lens. And that was very, very, very difficult. And thirdly, I'd say that you can't move the camera around very easily. So there were no steady cam shots or anything like that. But that had become very commonplace in today's cinema. So as a result, I feel like we have a throwback film visually. It's the camera's very static for most of the movie, and we don't go in for as much coverage as most modern movies. So the 3D, in a way, even though it's a super new technology, I think because of its size, it lends itself to a kind of anachronistic visual storytelling. You know.
Mm-hmm. So you got this, you got Total Recall coming out, American Reunion. You've got this versatile career. Is that sort of planning or just kind of luck, maybe?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely weird luck that I've stumbled into multiple franchises.
You
that's,
have.
That's like that's bizarre, you know. It's just weird, but. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I look for... I look to mix it up just because I'm a baby and want to be interested from job to job. But that's also luck. Just
Do you still look for things that hugely challenge you, or?
Sure. I don't really think about it all that much. It's really a gut thing. It's something comes to me, and if it's interesting, I try not to question it and go for it. And if it doesn't interest me, even if it's been, even if it's supposed to be hot, or if I should theoretically be interested in it, I don't pursue it if there isn't something. If I don't feel an attraction, it's just sort of like a woman. You're either interested or you're not.
Do you still get nervous, like your first couple of days on set, and you don't really know anybody, and they say action, or is your nerves still kind of jangling? And
yeah, I mean, I do, I mean, it's a dysfunction of mine that I've picked a career that's just a long series of being a new kid in school, but that's essentially what it is. I sometimes think, I mean, I moved around a lot as a kid and was always a new kid in school, and sometimes I think I chose this profession, you know, I'm perversely attracted to that sense of discomfort, like a rape victim who becomes a stripper. I need to revisit the site of the trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of actors are like that.
Hold on, I gotta cry. Go. I got over it.
Do you still have to audition for a lot of things?
Sometimes. But yeah, less auditioning. Less auditioning. I don't mind auditioning if... The only time I don't like auditioning is when you know that when the material isn't auditioning material. Sometimes there's stuff that plays in a room. There's stuff that plays on camera, and there's stuff that will work in a situation like this, like a scene that will work well while sitting across a table from someone, and that's good audition material. And there's stuff that works on camera but doesn't work in a room, and I just don't like it when you have to audition a scene that doesn't work well in a room.
What's the worst audition you've ever had?
I bombed a few, my friend, but the one I remember that came to mind was years ago. I was auditioning for, early on, I was auditioning for a TV show that Henry Winkler was directing. He played a character called the Fonz.
I've heard of that.
The audition was like 9 a.m, which is early for an audition. Typically they're in the afternoon, and I don't remember why it was 9, but I like to get up, you know, I can't wake up at, you know, at 8 and roll in. So I must have woken up at 6, and which is early for me then, and went over my lines, had coffee, ate, you know, all that stuff. So I roll in for the audition, and he's like, "How you doing?" And I said, "Oh, good. How you doing?" I'm just making small talk because it's the Fonz. I'm nervous. And I said, "So it's early, huh?" And he goes, "This is John." Looked at my resume. "It's John." I said, "Yeah." He says, "You ever done a movie?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Being called early, like, you know, 5, 6 a.m.? Yeah, I have." He goes, "So, this isn't early, is it, John?" And then I had to audition. I didn't get it, Lance.
Uh-huh.
I did not get the job at all. So that was a bummer. I was just humiliated in front of the Fonz.
Have there been any other, like, big-time actors you've gotten nervous around?
Big-time actors? Oh, I get nervous around small-time actors. So I've been nervous around them all. The earliest... biggest star early on that I had to work with and get through my nervousness in a hurry was Willem Dafoe, who was a sweet guy. But also, like you're kind of frightened based on his performances. So,
and he just looks intimidating. Yeah,
looks intimidating. He's got a scary face, though sexy. I had to get over it in a hurry, though. But yeah, I was all knotted up.
What's your advice to actors?
What's my advice to actors? I don't know. I don't know how the game today seems to be so much more complicated, even compared to 15 years ago when I started. Marketplace seems different. The needs seem different. I don't know whether any advice I could give would be pertinent anymore. I guess there's one thing, is they can never take away, you can never be too good at what you do. You know, I can give all kinds of other advice about external things, but I won't even say keep, I don't even like to say things like keep pursuing in the face of adversity, because it's your life. You know, like mm-hmm. if you're tired of it, if you don't want to keep hearing no, then maybe that's your choice. You know, like that's a piece of advice I hear a lot, but it can only do you good and do everyone else good if you're better, if you work on your craft. And something that, for some reason, it gets overlooked.
Did you always want to be an actor?
No, I fell into it in college.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so, who knew?
Cute girl.
No, almost, but no, I was in a writing group with this dude who was directing a school play, and one day he asked me what my height and weight were. I guess, as it turned out, some guy in his play was sick, had a small part, and I fit the costume. So I kind of started it.
Thanks, John, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.